So we're in Psalm 23 this morning. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Lord, we pray that you might guide and direct in our time together. Help us to understand more of who you are. Help us to draw near to you in our faith. Strengthen our faith. Guide and direct in our time, not only here, but also our junior church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, as we began our study in Psalm 23 last week, we looked at Psalm 23 and we realized that if you step back from this short but well-known psalm and you look at it a little bit different than the way we normally look at this psalm, when you see the psalm, the personal pronouns, you see two people, David and his God. Psalm 23 is read publicly and read all over in public venues, but this is a private reflection between David and his powerful, caring God who leads him and guides him and loves him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. David, he could talk to God and God would listen, because God was his personal God. And we can have a personal God as well. You know that Jesus says in John chapter 10, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Christ says in Matthew chapter 10, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father." Now listen, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." We have a personal God. Have you placed your trust in Jesus? Amen. Have you placed your trust in Jesus? He knows you. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. And I said this last week, and I believe it for all the world. There is no one in this world, there is no one in this universe closer to you than the Lord Jesus in your life. Amen? Amen? There's no one closer to you. And no matter what time of the day it is, and no matter where you are, it can be in the middle of the night, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." You have a personal God through Jesus Christ. You've got a personal God. God is a personal God, and he wants to take care of you. He wants to put his arms around you, and he wants to take care of you. Look at verse 2, Psalm 23 and verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." God is concerned about your physical life here and now. In Bible days, the sheep needed someone to lead them to the cool, quiet, rejuvenating waters so that they could drink and live. The sheep needed a shepherd to help them find the green pastures so that their bodies could be strengthened. It's a word picture. It's a picture of how our shepherd cares for us in this life. The Lord Jesus, our shepherd, our Savior, he wants to look out for your life in this life. Matthew chapter 6 says this, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, not yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" In the model prayer that Jesus gave, he said that we should pray to the Father, "Give us this day our daily bread." Because you know what? God will do it. Amen? He will do it. He'll give it our daily bread. But Jesus is not just a shepherd of this body. Jesus is the shepherd of the soul. Amen? He's a shepherd, the good shepherd of our eternal souls. God knows you've got a soul. God knows you've got an eternal soul. He died for it on Calvary. And trusting in Him, you can be His forever through that trust. Jesus knows you're more than flesh and blood. Jesus knows you've got a heart and a spirit. He knows that. He knows your soul hurts at times with trials and dangers of life. And we can absolutely trust in Him. Amen. We can absolutely trust in Him. He'll take us on the right pathways in life. I often think that life is a maze. I'm not sure which way to go. I'm not sure which way to think. But I know I've got a shepherd that knows I've got a soul. And He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him as your shepherd? The shepherd of body and soul. Shepherd of your heart. And you know, God is giving a word picture here. God is calling us sheep. We're not lions. We're not panthers. We're not tigers. God says to us, to me, you're a sheep. You need to depend on me. You need to trust in me. You need to let me lead. You need to let me guide. You need for me to be your shepherd. I know you've got worries. I know you've got anxieties. I know your heart hurts at times. Physically, spiritually, there are times when, and I hope that you do this, I just close my eyes and I take a deep breath and I trust in Him. I trust in the shepherd. I know He knows me and I know Him. And when we have life's troubles, when our hearts hurt, it's a great help to know that God is there. Such a great help to know that He's there. Look at verse 4. Look at Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David speaks of sheep being guided through a valley. The valley of the shadow of death. A valley by nature is a dangerous place for sheep. There's less light. They are going down into uncertain footing. There could be an ambush if you go down into a valley with a herd of sheep. Descending into the unknown is the idea of a valley. Shadows in a valley are larger. A bird flies over and the sheep are afraid because they don't know. They don't know what it is. It's a place of uncertainty. It's a place of doubt. It's a place of danger. The valley of the shadow of death. But the shepherd is there. The shepherd is there. Look at verse 4. The rod and the staff. A rod was a small club to beat away animals that would attack the sheep. A staff was a long-handled stick with a curve on it to guide the sheep if they went the wrong way. So in a valley, a sheep could step off the trail, but the shepherd was there. No worries, the shepherd was there. In a valley, a sheep could decide not to continue, but the shepherd was there. The shepherd was there. In a valley, a sheep might be in danger from another animal. The shepherd was there. The shepherd was there.
Remember, this is a picture. This is a word picture speaking about our lives. There are a lot of death valleys in life where we live, where we need the shepherd. There are valleys in this life where we are afraid, where we are uncertain. I just listened to a preacher. I won't tell you the name. A well-known preacher. And he said at times that he doubts God. He said there have been times in his life, this is a preacher, he doubts whether he's saved or not. There's been times in his life when he's doubted his salvation. That's going into the valley of the shadow of death. There have been times in my life where life seemed to be turned upside down like one of those snow globes, and somebody just shakes it, and I wonder which way is up and which way is down. You felt that way before. Christians are not immune. Christians are not immune, amen? We're not immune to surgeries. Christians are not immune to trouble at work. Christians are not immune to losing friends. And Christians are not immune to death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oftentimes at a funeral service, we speak of someone passing through the valley of the shadow of death. But we in this life have plenty of dark valleys living in the here and now. And the shepherd is there. Amen. The shepherd is there with his rod, with his staff. The shepherd is there protecting and guiding. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In a valley, in a hard time, in a time when your mind is weary, when your heart is hurting, God is there. God is there to protect us against an enemy. Look at verse 5. Against an enemy. Verse 5 of Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Do you want to know who our biggest enemy is? Our biggest enemy, when we are in a valley, when we're down, when we're uncertain, when we're hurting, our biggest enemy is Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Our biggest enemy. Satan wants to destroy you. Satan wants to destroy your faith. He can tempt even the strongest believers. I've had enough. I'm not going any further. This is the last straw. I don't feel like being faithful anymore. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like serving the Lord. I'm done. Do you know where all that comes from? If Satan can bring you down in good times, if Satan can bring you down in good times, he will tempt you in the valley of the shadow of death. But the Lord is there. Amen?
Amen.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Remember, the rod was there to beat off attackers coming against his sheep. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God doesn't take away enemies. God, for now, does not take away Satan and his attacks. God may not take away people who think little of your faith, but he promises to be there. Amen.
Amen.
He will be there. He will be there. And I said to someone a while back, how is God there? How is God present? You ever wonder that? I want God in my life in the valley. You want God in your life in the valley. How does it happen? How is God there? So often, through others. And can I say it this way? Through other people who know Him and love you. Who know Him and love you. They are there, and God works through those people. So often God intervenes in our lives through other people and their care for you. Can I say this? It is good to be in the house of the Lord with other believers. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord with other believers. When I look at you, I can say, you know what? I can keep going. Because your faith, when you look at me, you can see I can keep going. Because your faith in the shepherd. It is good to pray together for each other during the week. It is good that we show up in the lives of others. And I try to show up in your life to give you courage and encouragement. If I knock on your door, because I want to encourage you. If I give you a call, or if I step into your life, it's not me. It's the Lord. It's the Lord saying, that person needs to be encouraged. The Lord is there. Look again at verse 5. Psalm 23 and verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The word pictures in verse 5 describe close communion. We're going to have communion in a moment. But these word pictures describe close communion with a shepherd who is powerful and who cares. One loose translation of verse 5, you look at it and I'll read this. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest, and you fill up my cup until it overflows. Satan may tempt me to give up, but I can say I'm with him. I'm with him. Don't tempt me to give up, because I'm with Jesus. I'm with the good shepherd of my body and soul. Satan may tempt me to throw the towel in on my faith. I'm at his table. I'm at his table. He's my Lord and Savior. He's my protector. All is not lost. Look at verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil. In Bible days, anointing the head and face with oil was similar to applying makeup, gave a shine to the face and hair, a look of life and rejuvenation. It is a picture of with him, I live. No matter what happens, with him, I live. Look at verse 5 again. Look at the end. My cup runneth over. A cup that overflows is abundant life that only God can give. You remember the woman at the well? Christ said to her, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. Shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe he gives everlasting water for someday? Do you believe he can quench the thirst of your soul today? Do you believe it? Amen? Do you believe it? Someone said about this psalm, I'm going to read this. Someone said about this psalm, listen, God designs valleys for his sheep to grow, and sometimes he has to make us lie down there to teach us how to trust him. Five facts about the valleys. Valleys are inevitable. Jesus promised valleys would come. John 16, in this world you shall have trouble. Number two, valleys are unpredictable. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. You must be prepared for the valley after the mountaintop. James 4, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Number 3, valleys are impartial. It rains on the just and the unjust. Matthew 5. 4, valleys are temporary. Peter refers to a season of suffering. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us there is a time for all things. Number 5, valleys are for building faith. James tells us to count it all joy when we fall into a valley because God is answering our prayer and making us more like Christ. I've said everything a pastor should say about Psalm 23. Can I say this? I hate it. I hate to go through the valleys. I hate to go through hard times. I hate surgeries, and I hate sickness, and I hate disappointments, and I hate bills. And I hate to feel the loss of a loved one. And as your pastor, I hate it. I hate it when you have hard times. I hate it when your heart hurts so much. But I love the Lord. And I love to know that He's there. And I love to know that He's my shepherd. And I love to know that He's my guide. And I love to know that He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I love to trust in Him. How about you? How about you? Psalm 23, verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Do you know Christ as your good shepherd? Would you trust Him today? I'm talking to Christians now. Would you trust Him more than ever? Would you trust Him more than ever? To bow your heads this morning. Do you have Christ as your shepherd through a trust in Jesus, what He did on Calvary? If you're here today and you're not sure whether you know Jesus as Savior, you don't know where you will spend eternity, would you just raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I'm not sure if He's even my shepherd at all. Would you help me to pray for you?" If there's anyone here you're not sure, you're just not sure, your pastor will pray for you. I care about you. Is there anyone? If you're a Christian here today, if you're facing trouble, if you're hurting, would you in this quiet moment, would you call out to Him, "Lord, strengthen me, establish me, I need You." Would you say that? Would you say that quietly to Jesus? "Lord, strengthen me. Establish me. I need You." Would you pray to the Lord this morning? He's there. He'll hear you. Pray to Him this morning. Oh Lord, we come before You in Jesus' name. You are our good shepherd. You are the good shepherd of our bodies, of our souls, of this day, and of all eternity through Jesus. We come before You. We have faith in You. We believe in You. We trust in You. We love You. And we will follow You from here to eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.